Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3. Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm Darren Moser, stranded here with my fellow Trekkies, Daniel Prue and Philip Gilfus. Gentlemen, what is going on in your Trek lives? Still no new Trek. We are still wading through the unfamiliar waters of... they're very familiar. The very almost comforting waters of no new Trek. But Daniel, are you rewatching all of the movies in Shatner's appearance order?
Nope. Wouldn't do that. So not
good, because I have no idea what that
actually means. I don't know what that means, but I also wouldn't do it. I did have a bit of a Trek moment earlier this evening. I received one of the Hallmark Trek ornaments.
Which one?
For Christmas last year, and that was the classic Chekhov one.
Does it just say, that was invented in Russia?
I don't even know if it... I didn't even check if it like does anything.
It just says, is this tree a nuclear vessel?
No. It's not movie Chekhov. It's series Chekhov. So put that up on the tree today. So that's that had a little Trek moment today.
Oh, cool. See, well, I actually got the animated Chekhov ornament that...
Was it in two dimensions? Was it flat?
No, it doesn't exist.
Oh, that's right.
No, there was no animated Chekhov.
I forgot about that.
Fell into my trap, Daniel.
I forgot about that. Curses.
My
trap.
Man, what a trap.
Does it have a third arm? I don't know.
Oh, gosh. What about you, Philip, besides ornament placing and trappings?
Yeah, you know, it's speaking of ornaments, I've been posting, you know, Treksmith stuff occasionally on the old Twitter. But I think it is funny people were talking about it. Let me get into my old man on the lawn bit, but like there's things that people talk about like that it's old now, which I'm like, I remember when it was new, but like the fact that the old quote unquote Star Trek ornaments that you plugged into the tree or the lights itself instead of it being an independent light source, which I'm like, I thought that's how it always was. But anyway, so like the tree we have now, like every, you know, I take it, we are artificial. Yeah, I don't do real. It's stupid. But anyway, the artificial, you know, I take it out every year and the ornaments are still on there every time. That's the only thing that's on the tree is the two Star Trek, because it's into the, you know, it's a pre-lit tree. So, you know, the Voyager and Define are already good to go the moment that tree
goes
up.
Which, of course, you have to have Voyager because it's like the episode with Q where they're literally an ornament. I mean, I don't want to say product placement, but it's basically what that is.
Tethered to a large plant.
Jeez.
Yes. But other than that, as far as Star Trek stuff, not really. I've been dabbling in another sci-fi franchise the past few days, but I don't know. It's interesting. I'm trying to remember when it was, like when Enterprise was on. You know, like, oh, the next week. You know, and I don't remember. You know, when the season finale or whatever. It's been so long. I'm trying to remember what it's like to be waiting for Trek.
That's true. Star Trek's never had a mid-season finale in that regard. It was just 26, 35, 58 or so episodes in a season. It was a lot. I can't remember exactly how much it was, but...
No, 47.
Maybe not quite that much. Well, I haven't been watching any Trek per se, but I have been rewatching classic Mission Impossible episodes, which are some of my favorite. And starting in the fourth season, who do they have joining their team but Leonard Nimoy. Yes. As a smiling, wisecracking super spy, non-Vulcan, it is very different because it's literally the year after Star Trek ended that he went on this show. So it's the exact same time period. But it's a lot of fun, and you know, he's great. He's still just as good of an actor when he's actually able to emote.
Now, after every like thing is his catchphrase, like, "Now you want to catch Spock doing that," and then he laughs. And...
Hey, then he puts on his shades. He's like, "Deal with it.
I can get other parts."
So today on City Alpha 3, as we continue our not talking about Discovery break. I decided that I wanted us to go visit a place where everyone knows your name. It's called Utopia Panitia. That's not what probably you guys were thinking, but that's actually where a lot of ships are designed. We have seen it in some episodes. Geordi has made recreations of it. We know that Sisko has served a little time there. I mean, that's not the reason Geordi made that holo program. We all know that, but well, that's not what this episode is about. Geordi's love life is not what this episode is about. But no, today I wanted to commission you two and myself. We are going to design our own starships, and I'm being very broad. You can design however you want your starship.
I feel like this is like an episode of Chopped. There's going to be like a secret design element that we all have to put into our starship.
Oh, yes. Three nacelles.
Oh, no.
Three nacelles
of
the design element. You have to. Okay, no. I kid. No. You have to use Voyager nacelles. Doesn't matter the size of your ship. I want to see Voyager nacelles sticking. No, I kid. No. But no, this, you can decide the mission of your ship. You can decide the size or the era, but I realize this is, you know, I didn't want to try to do another list show because we do those every week, but I figured this would stretch our creative muscles, especially since we just had Discovery where we saw a whole new ship design. You could put a spore drive in your ship if you wanted to. I wouldn't recommend it. It's kind of dangerous.
And
but,
you would break canon, but apparently that's not a concern.
Well, now, so here's my thing. You know, I have the Voyager Playmates ship, toy ship, and then, then which is, I mean, mine's in a little bit of a rough shape, but it still does this thing. And then I have the Micro Machines Voyager. Both have the moving nacelles. So here's my question. When there's a Discovery toy, will it be able to do, like, super spore flip?
You know, if they pull that off, I will buy it. I would just be like, I don't even need this, but that's incredible. Yeah, that's true.
Or will it have concentric circles that go in opposite directions for the saucer section? I feel like
that's true. Ooh. As a cop out, they're like, well, parts of it spin, and that's it. It doesn't do the spore warp because that's kind of distorting it. Like, but that would still be cool.
Now, imagine,
I'm not saying they can't.
Imagine
do it.
If. You know, picture with me here, guys.
You know, is this CBS All Access Twilight Zone you're already doing? Imagine if you will.
We had the Enterprise, I think it was from ThinkGeek, if I remember correctly, the Enterprise Pizza Cutter, right?
Oh, yeah, I have it. Which one?
Yes.
There's two.
Which one?
So we had both.
No bloody A, B, C, or D.
So they kind of had to reconfigure the design for the D to get it to make sense as a pizza cutter, obviously. But
otherwise it's like lumpy. Yeah. It's like going up and down. It's like, what?
But imagine a Discovery pizza cutter that was like super fancily designed so that like the inside rings spin the opposite way as you're cutting your pizza. Uh-huh. That would be pretty cool. Let's do that. That'd be fun.
You know, it is they're like, gentlemen, when we design this new ship, one of our design parameters is how can this be turned into a pizza cutter?
It's stuffed crust powered.
It's actually literally the only design decision that would make sense for the ship of the Discovery. Womp womp. But
with salsa. Pizza with salsa, of course.
Yeah. Well, like, is the thing...
Sorry, I promise no references to Discovery.
Fortune cookie pizzas. Sorry.
I also like we're doing a 21st century version of the CD-ROM Starship Designer. But it... You know, can we go beyond the saucer? I sort of made the joke on the chat earlier, but like, I was...
No, you can... You want to throw a ball and be like the USS Pasteur? You can if you want to... If you really love the Grissom design, because I know
ring
you
ship,
do.
Ring ship.
Okay. Okay, yeah. No, like I said, the drawing board will take a page from Punch It, will erase the digital drawing board.
Isn't this like a blueprint? What are designers actually, you know?
Well, there's sliding planes of plexiglass. It looks really cool. I'm sorry you audio listeners can't see it, but it's really cool.
You know what
cool.
really helps
now,
us here?
Now, what century are we in, though? I mean,
Well, no, we're each designing our own, so you can be in whatever century you want to be. This isn't a design by committee. This is just ridiculing each other's decisions.
Okay.
You know what would be helpful in this situation is a holodeck where we can just say, no, a little clickier. More wooden. Circle.
I wouldn't it look like a table.
Yeah.
Just that's called a monolith, actually, if it's that big, but...
Now, is this like where we all get a lump of clay? Because I've seen how this ends.
I'm still remembering...
It doesn't end well.
That's... That's still my favorite, where it's like an incline table, and then he's like, make it metal, and it completely changes what that table looks like.
Well, see, the holodeck thought, like, computer, like,
you were taking
metal,
some leaps there.
Like metal rock.
Oh, yeah, like yeah, oh. I see, like Iron Maiden.
Like
or
it's going like this, you know, and, podcast. And
they
rocking
can't see it.
Out. They can infer from my tone. That's all podcasting is.
Your tone was not metal enough, Darren.
A dad would say that. I think you can
infer like this. That was my really bad metal impression.
Make Star Trek more
again.
Metal.
I'd rather sing Data is Red for an hour than do that again. But
I have to think now about what time period I want my starship in.
Well, that's why I was going to go first, so that I could give you guys extra time to think even before I delayed our recording for an hour. But no, so mine I was putting in, I guess I'm basing the rough design off of the Enterprise C. So I'm kind of putting in that between B and D time period. So you have a lot more exploring going on. You have, you know, you're still kind of Cold War status, I guess, with the Klingons. We haven't had the Narenda 3 battle yet. But so I went back to the classic round saucer. I mean, okay, the D, I like the overall design. It looked okay. Hey, just wait till you get to yours, Philip. I'm sure it's going to be amazing and blow my socks off. But no, I basically an ambassador class saucer. You know, it's round. It looks like it could pizza cut very well. I mean, that is a design parameter we have established. But here's where I throw some changes. So this is going to be a deep space science ship. So we got to pack a little more room into this vehicle. So I'm going double hull. So imagine the star drive section, but two of them, like pontoon style, next to each other beneath the saucer, sticking out the back. So one at the front is going to have the main deflector. And the other one is going to have like an advanced sensor package in that forward space.
Just so you know, I had to look up the word pontoon because I was unsure of what that was, but I now know.
And he's like, I don't think we can say that.
Look,
I mean,
I even have little drawings.
I know this is a post-discovery era, but still, language.
Wait a minute. So wait, you're going to have two star drive sections, each with one nacelle on them?
Yep. One nacelle sticking up off the back, kind of like a fin, not a fin, but basically it's not going to go outward. It's just going to go up. And then we'll have the two nacelles. I haven't decided.
This sounds very
exactly
23rd century the way I'm picking. I know you said 24th, but I'm imagining it's sort of a cutter version of the Constitution class, you know, era.
Like take the boat part of like the Obrith. Or like an Enterprise B, and put two of those underneath the saucer of a C. That's basically what I'm doing. And then let's not speak of the Obrith again, as it is a silly ship.
You can't get to the other side of the. Oh, okay.
Well, no, you go up into the saucer and then back down. That's true. I mean, some would say, why not just merge them into one hole? But I say,
you're going in through like
I'm
the nacelle vent. I don't.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Well, no, it's connected in the saucer. That's where they're joined because basically there's no neck.
Right.
So where
the saucer is connected to it through the nacelles, like the
No. Okay.
It doesn't make sense. Philip. The easiest way is you go to the bottom deck of the saucer, and there's a little chute there, and you just kind of open the door and just drop down.
No.
Is it like a super slide, or is it a fireman's pole?
A fireman's pole, but that's not the point. So you have the two pontoons coming off the saucer, and then the two nacelles come off of the pontoons.
You keep saying that word, Darren.
And you do know what it means, so.
But okay, what purpose does having two separate saucers, or starboard section?
And when it separates, does it separate into three?
I didn't say it had to separate. Why does everything have to separate? But yes, actually, it would. You have two.
But now that you mention it, absolutely.
And when they reconnect, they're like, wait, were you the left or was I the left? I'm trying to remember.
Well, Darren, I know the answer to that because which one has green on it and which one has red? Oh, I paid attention.
Yeah, which one does have green on it, Philip?
One of them does.
Now, you know, there is one ship in Star Trek canon.
Redport.
That would almost make sense to have two separate engineering sections. Do you know what ship that would be, gentlemen?
The USS Discovery. The Discovery would actually one would have a spore drive, and one would have a warp drive. It actually makes a lot of sense.
But
so you're saying
we have yet to see
the
warp drive?
Yeah. Again, I'm saying this could be a good, 23rd century sort of 5-year mission design. So it's post because something's going to happen to Discovery. I'm just going to say it now. That ship's not going to last for 10 years. So anyway, but this is a follow-up.
I mean, neither did the Enterprise, but hey, you know.
But so it's a follow-up to the Discovery design of how we can try to get the drive going.
Yeah, I like that. Of it's so maybe make it more of an experimental test bed where you could have your conventional warp drive in one and then have the, some sort of package and the other side that if they need to do a different type of drive. My thought, because you're asking why have two, secondary hulls, mainly I was thinking volume, and it's already something that's designed because most Starfleet ships are just reconfigurations on the same design. So if you already have a perfectly good secondary, hull worked out, just put two of them if you need to double that volume.
But wouldn't it make, well, I'm not here to critique your design. So.
Now, I don't know about the subspace turbulence or whatever,
Let's run a few models of this and
I mean, I've seen people take a saucer and shove a warp engine on it and it's all good. I don't even know how that's going to work, but
it's a lot like the Kelvin. It sounds like your ship may be a retroactive Discovery class ship. Set in the future.
Maybe they took inspiration from that.
An homage. No, I like to feel like there's some sort of like, not mad scientist for real, but sort of like that branch of Starfleet sciences, Starfleet engineering.
Like the guy who worked with the Traveler. He was a little out there and he thought he knew everything.
Yeah, he's a moron. But like that in the Starfleet engineering corps, like in the past 100 years, there's this sort of like the Fountain of Youth, except it's the transwarp. Like, people just keep chasing this pipe dream that there's transwarp.
Okay.
And they've done it,
So it's a transwarp.
There was spore drive.
It's still not going to work.
Yeah, there's spore drive.
But...
and then there's whatever. And then there's transwarp with Excelsior. They keep having these ideas and they never work out.
You guys caught me. It's radish powered. I wasn't going to say it out loud, but it's going to be the experimental radish drive. Or maybe it just changes every week. And they're like, what are we trying this time, Scotty? Or whoever that is, chief engineer.
So what
unnamed
what about
chief engineer.
I feel like you focused a lot on the exterior. So give me some interiors.
Yes.
What's different?
Well, there's temple ruins everywhere. I don't know why.
Is there a timed amount that we're supposed to find certain objects within? Oh, sorry, I was thinking Nickelodeon.
The inside reconfigures kind of like that horror movie Cube. It's really confusing. No. I hadn't given too much thought to the inside, but I really like what you like the thought of one side being a traditional warp drive and then one being, you have the science. It's like science side and then like
the
tradition
fun side.
Side and they the
party side.
They're like, why are you wearing your uniforms on backwards? This is the fun side of the ship.
Party on the left, business on the right.
So it's the mullet design, but sideways, which makes it even weirder.
Oh man! Darren, you get an A+ for originality. The USS Chuck Norris is going to do real well.
I had my 5-year-old draw it. Okay, I had to just go and I had to run with it. Okay, but no. So that is my overall design. Who wants to go next? I mean, I laid some good groundwork, I think. And it's overpowered for its size. Let's just throw that out. Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but overpowered to do what? Not weapons or just...
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Overpowered sensors? Like, it can figure out what,
Look, we've established I never need to quantify that statement in Star Trek, Philip.
It's overpowered.
Saying it is enough.
Oh, boy.
Well, this is going to be a work in progress, but this is what I'll workshop. I think...
You say Obrith, I'm disconnecting this call right
but
now.
But you can't. You can't disconnect it. It's already disconnected. But this is something I always think about, which I know I'm not the only one, and I know the real reasons, blah, blah, blah. But, theoretically, when we had Enterprise, and we had all these different, ships, we had Vulcan ring ships, we had, I don't even know what you call the Andorian design, but kind of looks almost like old-timey 1950s design, in a way.
It's kind of a Battlestar Galactica-esque. Yeah.
And then,
look.
Of course, you have Enterprise, which is sort of your saucer in a cell, blah, blah, blah. And so, but theoretically, when they created the Federation, because Starfleet was already around, but when they created the Federation, you know, instead of just being like, you know, we're going to draw straws, whoever gets the long straw, that's the design we use. Wait, Earth 1, again. But, you know, it actually combined designs. You know, let's come together right now. Oh, okay. Anyway.
Over Mars.
Yeah, this will be the USS Beetle. But and so
with an A, right?
Yeah, well, of course. And so I'm thinking of the Andorian design, the NX, and the Vulcan ring ship. Of course, to me, you know, you got to have a base. You know, so I got to choose one, which is going to be a little more predominant. Of course, I'm going ring. You know, we're going to go ring ship. The Vulcan ring ship is going to be sort of your basis of then blending everything in together. And so I think the easiest thing...
Now, which ring ship? Is this the one where it's like on top and then the ring kind of comes below it?
Well, it's like the sort of the Vulcan ring ship that we saw throughout of Enterprise. So it almost looks like there's a long spear and then...
Do we know what purpose the ring serves on that ship?
I mean, I assume it's the warp engine.
I guess. I guess that's possible, yeah.
I mean, if you're familiar with the Orville design with the three, I don't know what you call them, quantum, was it called quantum drive?
They're quantum drives, yeah.
There's three of them, so they have three engines, theoretically. And then, but instead of it being three, it's just one big ring. And then, which is almost like it's almost creating your own portal, I suppose, which or warp portal or... technical chronotone.
Well, presumably it has to work on the same fundamental principles that warp. Well, I mean, it is warp drive still. It's so right. It has to work on the same kind of.
Well, like the Romulans use a star to power their.
So. They use a artificial singularity. Yeah, so yeah. A black hole. Right. I'm looking up the design. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. So with the ring design, but then I think the easiest thing to super power it up. Well, but I'm kidding. But like the thing I think, because I don't want the saucer, I'm rejecting the saucer. So what else is there to take from an NX or Starfleet stereotype? That's
you just hate Starfleet. You're rejecting the saucer.
I mean, I'm just gonna put a big old fat deflector on the front and call it a day. No, I'm kidding. We're gonna put nacelles on the sides, but you know, subdued. But and they can have racing stripes or fins. It's fine. So it's not only a ring, but it has sort of Starfleet-esque nacelles on the sides.
So it's really fast, because the ring itself was their nacelle. Yeah. So you're adding nacelles to the ring.
Yeah, this is a deep space vessel, so it's going to be going far away.
Sounds like Tom Paris designed it. This thing needs to go really fast.
Now the hard...
We're just going to put as many engines on it as we can.
Exactly. Now the hard part is, how do you add the Andorian design? Now, if I were playing around, I would be tempted to just add the engines onto the nacelles. So now you have, like, god-awful amount of engines everywhere. But I'm not going crazy, though I really would if I was doing this. But I think sort of the head of the spear, that's not the official term I know, for the Vulcan ship, is going to be that sort of head of the Andorian ship.
Yeah, I did like that part of the design on the Andorian and ships. Think, the rest was kind of...
Yeah, and I think it'll have the... I mean, this is a very subtle thing, but it's going to have the Andorian color, which is kind of a... gray. I mean, they're all gray, I suppose, but you know, Vulcans are orange or brown or whatever color you want to call that, you know, to be like a desert color.
Yeah, they're almost like purplish at times.
But so I'm gonna go with the Andorian color to dominate. So it's sort of a slapdash one, but I think, you know, and I don't think we necessarily know, and I'm sure people out there are like, yes, we do, a lot about Andorian designs, like what makes them special. But I think one of the things that this ship will have, though, that we don't always see, and this may be a Babylon 5 thing, but like it should have different environments throughout the ship. So, you know, like in Babylon 5, for those who know that, they have like sort of an alien sector.
Aha, I knew it. It's a Babylon 5 ship. Spins, rings. Ah,
that's right. No
found
shields.
You out.
It's anyway. But you know, so like an alien sector in Babylon 5 where they have to put on masks or whatever. But anyway, but I think a Federation ship shouldn't just be like, nope, it's Terran humanoid only. But because I think with the Andorians, you know, some are going to be colder, you know, with Vulcans, you know, some's going to be hotter. With Terrans, it's going to be 72, I guess. I don't know. Fahrenheit, of course. But anyway, so I think it's going to be a mishmash ship, but it's because it's sort of this experimental Federation design of bringing people together. It's a deep space mission, so that we can see, can we put our heads or antenna or ears together and come together to explore. So that's my
Federation. Even the name is racist.
So that is my USS Beetle.
USS Beetle. No, it definitely looks like a fast ship. I mean, that I was expecting Daniel to go hog wild in the nacelles, but he's going to be hard pressed to up that.
Because then I think it's going to be a really cool for the special effects team who's going to be doing this. Because when it goes to warp, the ring is going to start to spin up. I mean, not like literally spin, but the lights, you know, are going to sort of spin up, and then the nacelles will then glow up, and then you just have this double warp effect.
Ooh, so like outer. So if they're not properly synced, the inner ring and the outer nacelles could misfire at different times and tear the ship apart. Okay,
they tear it apart.
Some would say seriously design flaw, but I think we'll give it a shot.
And you can separate it by throwing the nacelles off. Shooting the Andorian head forward. It's every species for themselves.
So are the nacelles basically like boosters, like yes. on a rocket,
yeah.
And they could just peel
I think that's
away?
Fair. Yeah. It's basically the, it takes it to 11. Because Vulcans can go to 10.
Why don't you just make 10 louder, and then that could be as fast as the ship can go.
No, it goes to warp 11. That's...
Okay. Well, did your ship go to 11, Daniel? Or maybe warp 13 on the new scale?
Or do you just have a shuttle design that you really want to get into the main shuttle bay?
No. I didn't think about it. Shuttles, that's actually a good idea.
Well, you know, ships are just large shuttles.
I've heard that in the past. I'm not sure how true it is, but... you know, I went a little bit... A little bit of a different direction for me. I took two existing ships and mashed them together to make the ultimate...
Star Trek does never
no,
does
no,
that.
No.
You've got Romulan
how could you
in my
even
Federation.
Think of that?
Or, to be a little more clear, well, I'll just tell you. So I want to see the Abrams-verse version of the Enterprise-E, which I think would be essentially what... If you take the good design...
So the size of a small moon, basically, by the time you're that...
If you take the good design parts of both of those things, and mash them together, that is my
so an oval saucer,
really
really big, backswept lower nacelles,
very sleek, very forward, kind of moving, yeah. But large nacelles. You want to keep the scale as well. I mean, I know of course the scale is supposed to be essentially the same, but of course you get a better sense of the scale with the JJ stuff. I like the internals better on the JJ stuff overall. Of course, there are different pieces that I would take. I would use the JJ deflector over the E deflector. Lots of different things. Basically, if you just put if you had both those ships in your hands and you could mash them together, that would be, I think, my ultimate Star Trek ship.
Now, of course, I'm imagining the first contact scene with the Borg just slip-sliding up and down the deflector as they're trying to...
Whoop!
It starts to open in that, like, trapezoidal shape, and they're like, what is going on?
And to see this radar going through space as they blow it up.
I mean, we have seen a ship bigger than the Enterprise, which was the... Oh, what's that called?
Vengeance?
Vengeance? Yeah.
And the Vengeance is more... E-looking than the actual Enterprise is, but...
Yeah,
but
I also like the fact that, you know, I know you all, with your designs, have a pizza cutter base, but I think bottle opener base, I think, because what else are you going to have with your pizza? You know,
well,
so... With,
this is... What? So, and not to critique, because, you know, Darren, this is kind of what you did, but Star Trek kind of... And they do this with Discovery, too, and they did it with Vengeance. In order to mix it up sometimes, they just seem to like to put gaps in the ship design, which to me makes absolutely no sense. Why do you need to do this? Why is it like, you know, Philip, like, why is there literally, this looks like a bottle opener. Why Discovery has two holes in between the saucer section. We were talking
because
about
the people can wave at each other.
We were talking about the Oberth class, which again makes zero sense too. Why are you building ships? Okay, so the original design of the Enterprise, Which this is a really fascinating thought experiment, Darren.
To the
I'm really
Matt
glad
Jeffries.
You, yeah, I'm glad you came up with this topic because this is really I never thought about it from an actual design. Like, how would I design it? But it made sense because okay, you have the two engines which are so super powerful that they need to be kept away from all the people. That makes sense, right? And then of course, all the important ship bits are at the bottom, and then you have something that extends out of it.
And then you always put the bridge
on
top.
And then everything else is all the other stuff. The personnel stuff is on the top. And it's the original Enterprise design is so brilliant in its simplicity. It just works, you know. And that's why it's kind of the blueprint for every other Star Trek ship. But then you kind of try to these people that come in to add all these layers. Like again, Discovery will be my perfect example. Why? Why do we need three circles all spinning in opposite direction? Like, this makes no sense mechanically or physics based. Like, what is this doing? That's actually it's just cool. It started way earlier on, obviously with Voyager and stuff like that. But just because something's cool doesn't mean it makes sense inside of this system. So. It's really interesting to think about it like that.
Well, what is, I mean, because I know there's a lot of alien designs, but what do you think is an alien design you would change into being your next Starfleet design? Like, you know, like, oh, you know, in Next Generation, it should look like a warbird or, you know, like whatever. You know, like what would you have said? What design would you steal and say, like, you know, we're going away from saucer and nacelles and we're going to be a Borg cube? Or, you know, that's ridiculous, but you know what I'm saying.
I think that
now you're just talking madness.
I mean, I obviously I've talked about how much I love the design of the Romulan ships, but they run on a fundamentally different power source than the rest of. I think like something like
you mean deceit.
Deceit. They run on deceit. I think like the Cardassian ships are very practical.
I like that. Super practical.
They're very simple. It's just bloop bloop bloop, and there you go.
Manta Ray.
Yeah, exactly. God, what else? You know, the Ferengis are kind of
a little,
they're interesting. They're visually interesting, but they're also kind of over complex, I think. I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, they're like, we need our ship to look like our logo, like really badly.
Well, like, I mean, I'm not saying it's my favorite ship, but as a design, the bird of prey, or the classic, quote unquote, classic Klingon bird of prey. Because I mean, we use that word like for 50 million designs at this point. But you know, your Star Trek 4, 3, you know what I'm talking about,
right?
Because I mean, the wings move, which I, you know, you can say is silly or not, but that's an interesting thing, you know, aspect. And of course, it's a very what I would call it sounds like I'm critiquing like a Star Wars design, right? Because you have the gun wing,
yeah, you
wings,
have the X-wing,
you know,
with like the flight mode and then attack mode.
I would say the Klingon ships are actually pretty practical, especially the later ones. And I can't
the
Vorcha remember
class destroyer.
Yeah, were they introduced in TNG or was it just a Deep Space Nine thing?
Yeah. That's the one where it's got like the thin neck. It's all green and then it kind of like downwards.
It's almost
actually,
like a,
just described
yeah, it looks like a
Klingon ship.
Star. I mean, not really, but. Like a base ship.
The Vorcha was Gowron's command ship when we were in the Civil War.
And that's a perfect example too, Philip. Like Battlestar Galactica is a simple, well-designed ship. It doesn't have any sort of bells or whistles or not to try to.
It's really just a huge runabout.
Because
it has the sort of nacelles that come down.
Kind of is, yeah. Yeah.
That's true. It does have a little bit of a runabout. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should just go with triangles, guys. Have you thought of a giant wedge triangle?
I was waiting. How many different configurations can we put triangles together?
How many triangles can you find in this spaceship?
Well, here's the problem.
But no, that's a good question, though, of what alien does that, like, if we had to. Like the Federation gets wiped out or something, and they need to start rebuilding, and everything's going back.
And they're
to
just out of saucers.
Square one.
Like you can't find a saucer to save your life.
But, well, I mean, the saucer, like you said, it became like this iconic design, but practically, it's really low on like square volume inside of it. Like it doesn't actually seem.
I mean, the ball, you know, like, we make fun of, but I like, you know, you can play, right? It doesn't have to be like the Pasteur, which is just ball large. But though, I don't know, we make fun of the Pasteur.
No, the ball had a big Star Drive.
Yeah, too. And it's not like, it's not the barrel. You know, it's a body to it. So, I mean, it's, you know, when you look.
Yeah, the Daedalus had the barrel. Yeah.
It's dopey looking because we're used to aircraft that need to go through atmosphere, but it practically makes a lot of sense because when that's not a consideration, although a lot of our ships do tend to go through the atmosphere pretty frequently,
at least once,
it makes at least for that ship design, it made a lot of sense. And it was a cool way to kind of update that design as well.
And maybe go away. Like, I'm not a, well, I'll just say it and then everyone can hate me. I'm not a Star Wars design person where it has to look all blicky blocky, super detailed, you know, gullies, all that stuff. But I don't think Star Trek would hurt itself if it wasn't everything perfectly smooth. Whether it's, you know, any century of Star Trek, they're all very smooth looking or aerodynamic or, you know, clean hull. Like, it can be a little like how it looks in the 21st century. Like, the, you know, the space station ISS doesn't look all, I mean, there's a smoothness to it, but there's these blocks through this and that block, and then this is where the sensor is, and that's where the pallets are, and it's, you know, you can see where stuff is.
Right. You look at, like, K7, and it's like it came out of a plastic mold. It's, yeah. You know, it's very smooth.
And what kind of does make sense to me, though, is, like, if by the 23rd century or whatever, it came down to the fact that we decided that two nacelles, star drive section, and a saucer section was the basic best way to do... It's like, you know, I mean, look, we don't do different types of plane design. Every plane that you know of... You know, is basically shaped the same. Two wings on the side, tails on the back. You know, it's just because it just makes sense, and that's the best base design you have, and
it works with laws of aerodynamics.
Yeah, and maybe that the design that Starfleet has established by that time, because they didn't even really establish it by the time of Enterprise. That wasn't until the time of TOS that the base design was established.
Kind of with the Constitution, that was kind of they hit their stride with that design, and then we saw
it maybe that was the most effective design, and that's why they only built 12 of them or whatever, and they were all whatever. So it's, you know, maybe that's why I'm okay with that idea, but obviously for the viewer, it's more interesting to get more variety in ship design.
Right.
They need to build their Borg cube killer. It's like an empty cube, and it just wraps itself around the Borg cube and just attacks it from all sides. It's really impractical, except for fighting Borg cubes.
It looks like scissors. or wait, would it be paper? Wait, what beats Borg cube in this game?
In 50 years, the Doctor hasn't changed his design of the TARDIS significantly at all, and nobody even uses phone boxes anymore, so...
You mean the inside, right? Because that never changes.
It's a police box, for one thing. everyone knows that the Sixth Doctor momentarily changed the shape of the TARDIS in about 3 serials.
Look, if you want to fix his chameleon circuit, go ahead, Daniel. But until he gets that thing, you know, serviced, I don't think it's going to be changing for anybody.
Yeah, but I think it goes both ways. I think we all, you know, I think that was the fight in Enterprise where, you know, maybe Berman and company were trying to fight, like, oh, let's not have a saucer. And the execs like, we're having a saucer in a cell. Okay. And that's fine, because that's why, you see that? You know it's the Enterprise, or you know it's Star Trek, you know it's Starfleet. So it's kind of hard to go too much away. Though I hate sometimes when it's, whether it's fiction, well, it's all fictional, but whether it's non-canon, in other words, I mean by like novels or just artistry, or inverse, where it's like first contact battle, where it's sort of like all the other ships are just, you know, somebody like playing in the sort of like a paint program where like I move sphere down, nacelles up, twist saucer sideways, new ship. I'm like, you just move things. Yeah. It's literally.
It's look, the Henry Ford the 13th built his Starfleet assembly line, and he was just cranking those things out in interchangeable parts. That's how the Starfleet makes their ships. They're just way bigger than like a
it's
wheel.
It's like a constellation. You just took the Enterprise, made the saucer, well, I guess the same, and you shrunk the nacelles, and you deleted the main body. Like, come on, guys.
Well, I mean, we're talking about kit bashing. I mean, I think the Reliant is like the ultimate, where it's like they literally had a kit for the Enterprise, and they're like, how can we change this enough to look different?
Now, make an aside here, but I think this is an important PSA. That just came up here on the show. You should literally never look down the barrel of a loaded weapon, Darren just had a lightsaber hilt in his hand and looked straight into it. So.
And I live to tell the tale.
This time, Darren.
So, Darren, I would suggest, you know, we're talking exteriors. I would love to see a part two where we make up interiors, like create our own bridge.
All right.
Two bridges?
Ooh. Maybe I want a turbo lift
that goes
diagonal.
Horseshoes everywhere. Wow. Teak wood, inlay tile.
I do think
Spanish tile.
You know, yeah. As maybe a tease for that, I do think that the CIC from Battlestar is much more realistic as a command center than any bridge we've ever seen in Star Trek. So I would like to see more.
And it's not on the top of the ship. So
well, and it was in the middle. Yeah. You know, just as this kind of, you have this ginormous ship with a bazillion people on it. Yeah, you're going to actually have more than four people, you know, working the graveyard ship. There's going to be people.
And everyone's not just sitting there staring at the front screen waiting for something to happen. No, that's very true. Yeah, we can always talk.
Now, one question interiors. We didn't ask, I know this is an interior question, but Darren, I assume it's not a disco room, but what is your party room on your ship?
The party
and what,
room?
What music does it play?
Well, we all know it's in the left hole because that's the party side.
That's the party side, yeah.
Nerds!
So, I mean, see, the right side had to dedicate that space to hydroponics, and the left side, they're like, 14-lane bowling alley.
That's where we grow our Red Bull and Doritos.
You grow your Red Bull and Doritos.
Where's our spore drive forest that we just have to have? Where
Red Bull
it?
Gives
no.
you nacelles.
but no, I think they would definitely have like the biggest holodeck ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's like literally the entire deck. It's just a sliver of the entire, and it's huge.
See,
there's like pillars in it because it's so big.
Mine, because it's a combination. You actually change music depending on which section you're in. So, you know, if you're in the Starfleet section, you're going to get public available non-copyright music. So it's most likely classical. The Vulcans, man, you're going to go to sleep with that one. But the Andorians, well, that's like
poetry readings.
It's like, I don't know how to describe it. Probably the most close would be classic Southern rock, I think, is what they have in the Andorian section. So it just depends on which section you're going in.
They like the beats and shouting, yes. So it works really well. No, that's true. Well, we'll have to design interiors and party rooms. I mean, it's an important, apparently, aspect of these ships. So.
And, of course, being the USS Beetle, their T-shirts say beat.
And then Dwight Schrute on the back.
Well, next week, Philip, what are we going to be talking about here as we're stranded, drafting up starships that will maybe save us if we can build them out of enough coconuts?
That's right. I think that's why we're never escaping based on all of our designs. And the fact that we are not working together. What we're going to be talking about is sort of...
splitting our resources amongst three.
Exactly.
Ships.
We'll see.
They never
it's a
get
competition.
That.
Anyway.
Survivor.
It's right. Conflict. It's what Star Trek needs, right? So we're going to be talking about my Trek Outside of Trek Part 2 of my series. This time we're going to be tackling two more episodes. One, fan favorite, possibly, though certainly fan renowned, I'll say it that way. And another one's going to be a little bit more smaller scale, but folks may or may not enjoy it. And that is we're going to go into Deep Space Nine and Enterprise. With Deep Space Nine, we're going to go into Far Beyond the Stars. And with Enterprise, a little nice Carbon Creek.
You know, you skipped Voyager.
That's where you got that bag. Shh, Daniel, we don't care that he skipped Voyager. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Daniel, where can we find your Voyager-centric blog posts? If someone's really interested about Voyager, because apparently that's where it's all at.
You can definitely find them on... You can't find them anywhere. They don't exist. So, but you can find me on Twitter, @oneupdan. That's the number one, not the word.
And Philip, if they want to find out where you got that fetching handbag, where would they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at handle @ncpublicservant.
And if someone wants to find me, I'll be in the party hole, which is the left side, if you, you know, depending on which way you're facing. But they can also find me online. Starboard side
sucks.
Reacclimates their water.
Oh yeah, you reacclimate your water.
Is that the Vulcan crew yelling at the human crew? Because that's what it sounds like. But no, they can find me online on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi, as well as Instagram and my website, drscifi.com. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here because we can't work together to build a starship on City Alpha 3.
Gah! Gah!